Escape. Jordan couldn't sleep after his talk with Stavanger. Get myself elected to the World Council, he thought. Challenge Halleck directly. Become a politician. He shook his head. How strange the world is. Halleck's actions are forcing me to take the one course that she wants me to avoid most of all. For every action, he remembered Newton's law, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Glancing at the window, he saw the dawn was starting to brighten the sky. Briefly, he thought about taking a walk outside. Through the room's curtained window, he could see a nearly full moon grinning lopsidedly as it settled toward the hilly horizon. No, he decided. The less I'm outside, the less chance for a surveillance satellite to spot me. Even in the dark of night, he had the eerie feeling that they were watching for him. I'm getting just as paranoid as Paul, he told himself. But then he repeated the old dictum, even paranoids have enemies. According to Longyear, the Tribal Council had complained to the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs about drones flitting across the reservation. The government officials claimed they had not authorized any drone flights, but the FAA confirmed that several drones had indeed penetrated the reservation's airspace. Halleck's World Council at work, Jordan knew. The matter was being discussed by U.S. Department of State officials and World Council bureaucrats. In the meantime, Jordan stayed indoors as much as possible. Suddenly, Aditi's lovely face took form in the holographic viewer, smiling at him.
Hello, Jordan, dearest.
Aditi, you're up early. Or have you been up all night?
It's almost lunchtime here in Barcelona, she said.
With a dimpled grin, she added,
Dr. Frankenheimer expects me in his laboratory in an hour or so.
How are you, darling? Jordan asked. And for the next half hour he was lost in the joy of talking with her. After a while, Aditi told him,
I think Dr. Frankenheimer is using me as a check on the information our technicians are giving to his technicians. He wants to be able to build a copy of my communicator by himself, without waiting for the technicians to learn how to do it.
He's looking for a Nobel Prize, Jordan muttered, wondering in the back of his mind if this link Audrey had set up for them was really safe from tracing. Aditi didn't seem to have such worries.
And you, Jordan, how did your talk with Mr. Stavanger go?
He wants me to run for election to the World Council.
Her eyes lit up.
Of course. That way you could fight Halleck openly.
I'm not sure that I'm cut out to be a politician.
Of course you are, Aditi insisted. You'll make a wonderful councilman.
He sighed. I wish we were together.
So do I, dearest, said Aditi. So do I.
Glancing around the small, snug bedroom, Jordan said, I'm waiting for Young Eagle to set up a meeting with the head of the Otero Network. Still staying indoors as much as possible.
But the World Council can't take you away against your will, she said.
With a rueful smile, Jordan said, and they can't keep you in custody either, but they're doing it.
I don't mind that. Working with Dr. Frankenheimer is interesting.
Then Aditi added,
but I miss you.
Jordan nodded. It's lonely without you, darling.
Lonely.
Trying to smile, he said, well, if everything works out right, we'll be together again, sooner or later.
Aditi said, sooner.
But Jordan saw the doubt in her eyes. I'll get you, he promised. No matter where you are, I'll come to you.
Yes,
she answered, with a smile that warmed his heart. The sun was just climbing over the rim of the distant hills as Paul Longyear and his uncle Twelve Toes huddled with Jordan in the living room of Longyear's parents' house. Lester Young Eagle was there too, practically quivering with the news that he had contacted the Otero Network, and Carlos Otero himself was flying to St. Louis to meet Jordan. But first they had to smuggle Jordan out of the reservation and to the airport at Bismarck. There'll be 6 pickups altogether, Longyear was saying, rehearsing the plan for spiriting Jordan off the reservation. They should be arriving in 10-15 minutes.
5 plus mine, said Twelve Toes.
Each of the 5 other trucks will have at least 2 men in them. They'll all come in here.
It'll be crowded, Twelve Toes said.
Casting a glowering eye at his uncle, Longyear continued. Then we all go out. I've got an extra hat I'll loan you so the satellites won't be able to see your face.
We'll all be wearing hats, Twelve Toes said. to the satellites, we'll look like an old-fashioned posse.
Longyear resumed, Jordan, you come with Uncle and me. The others all drive to 5 different reservation gates. That'll give the satellite monitors plenty to look at.
And where do we go? Jordan asked.
The reservation offices. They've got a covered parking garage. You get out there, wait about an hour, and then an official reservation school bus will pick you up.
Won't that be rather conspicuous? Jordan asked.
Hide in plain sight, said 12 Toes.
The bus goes every morning from the reservation offices to 4 different schools, Longyear explained. While you're riding around, I'll drive my own car to the last school on your route. You'll transfer to my car, and I'll drive you off the reservation to the airport and your meeting with this news media headman.
Carlos Otero, Young Eagle reminded him.
Jordan nodded. The plan sounded like it could work.
Keep me out of the satellite camera's view, he told himself, while giving the satellite monitors plenty to look at.
Still, the thought of spending more than an hour in a bus full of spirited schoolchildren sounded less than appealing to him. The school bus turned out to be noisy, but fun. Jordan felt a little self-conscious in the black wide-brimmed hat Longyear had given him, as if the hat were wearing him rather than vice versa. He sat up front, just behind the driver, a stolid, corpulent Native American woman, wearing a windbreaker despite the bright, warm weather. He used the driver's microphone to talk to the kids about the stars. Their ages ran from kindergarten to 6th grade, and this was the one day of the week when they had to show up in their classrooms and interact with their live teachers. The other days they worked at home and communicated digitally. Jordan found them to be lively, bright, and intensely interested in what he had to tell them. Practically every one of them put away their digital readers and game players to shower questions on the Star Traveler. As he talked about his experiences on New Earth, he wondered how such curious children could metamorphose into sullen, uncommunicative teenagers. Is it hormones, he asked himself, or does the educational system somehow beat the curiosity out of them?
So, who knows how far the star Sirius is from Earth? Jordan asked.
A gazillion kilometers, said a grinning first grader.
More seriously, an older girl answered.
8.6 light years.
Very good, Jordan said. And how many kilometers are there in a light year? By the time they reached the last school on the bus's route, Jordan was happy but nearly exhausted. How do teachers put up with all this energy and curiosity? He asked himself. Longyear was waiting in a sleek, bright blue sports car and whisked Jordan off the reservation to the airport at Bismarck. Jordan gave the hat back to Longyear and thanked him for his help.
I don't know what I would have done without you, Paul.
Breaking into a rare grin, Longyear answered, When you get the missions to those other worlds started, make sure I get a slot on one of them.
I will.
Once they reached the airport, they embraced like brothers. And then Jordan hurried into the terminal to catch the flight to St. Louis, trying not to look over his shoulder for World Council agents sent to bring him back to Barcelona. At St. Louis's Lindbergh Airport, a pair of corporate executives in 3-piece gray suits greeted him and drove him to the terminal for private planes. They led him to a twin-engine, swept-wing plane bearing on its tail the logo of Otero Network. Standing just inside the plane's hatch, almost filling the space, stood Carlos Otero, a beaming smile on his dark mustachioed face.
Jordan Kell, Otero said, extending both hands as Jordan hustled up the stairs to him. You don't know how happy I am to meet you.
I'm very pleased to meet you, sir, said Jordan, accepting a vigorous pumping of his arm.
Leading Jordan down the aisle of the plushly outfitted jet, Otero gestured to a tiny, almost doll-like young woman standing before the built-in bar.
Vera Griffin, he said a little pompously. This is Jordan Kell, the Starman.
How do you do? Said Jordan, accepting her outstretched hand. She smiled and stared at him, idol worship radiating from her tawny eyes.
Vera's going to be the associate producer of your interview, Otero said.
Jordan heard the plane's engines begin to whine softly. Electric engines, he thought. Then one of the crew closed the main hatch, and the faint sound cut off entirely. As the plane began taxiing toward a runway, Jordan asked, Where are we heading?
Corporate headquarters, said Otero, gesturing to the plush seats.
Boston, Massachusetts, land of the bean and the cod, the hub of the universe.